If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
To Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do here on Herb Talk Live. And thanks for joining us on American Voice Radio. We've got a great show. We are going to be talking about some risk management things. And also, I want to touch on the power of some echinacea root, you know, and even dive into, if we get time, you know, some of the past and present uses for that herb. And who knows, we may even touch on some inflammation topics as the hour rolls. We'll see how far we get. And we will do the Quack Report in a minute. I just want to remind folks that coming up, we're going to be talking with John Monroe is going to be back with us in March. So don't forget, he's our vision expert, you know him. We just think he's incredibly talented in helping people reverse vision problems naturally. So he's going to be back with us coming in March on the 20th. But this month's not done yet, so Dr. Carly's going to be with us a week from tonight. She's going to be with us on the 18th. And then on the 27th, we're talking with David Foreman. He's been with us before. He's a retired pharmacist, but he likes natural stuff. And he's going to help us figure out how we can sidestep a lot of the munchies, eating some of the snack foods and things that make us gain weight, especially as bathing suit weather kind of comes on us pretty quickly as the months just roll by in a blur. So he's going to be with us on the 27th. So hope you can join us for all that great stuff. And before we do the Quack Report, big salute and Semper Fi. I'm lifting all our righteous men and women up in uniform in prayer. God's hand of protection be on them. I'm asking for God to protect all of America and help righteous men and women just stand up and say no to all the tyranny and nonsense out there. That's right. You know, I'm sick of God's given rights to us humans being usurped by government privileges that are regulated. So we got to start taking those things back. You know, that's what we have to do. But, you know, we got to ask for God's help, and it's our job to ask. So hit the knees, seek the Lord's face, mind the time. It grows short. Without further ado, let's do the Quack Report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, what do we got in the Quacker? Well, let's see. How about a GM purple tomato? Yeah. Genetically modified foods becoming pretty commonplace, you know. And purple tomatoes. You know, I don't think I could do it. I don't think I'd buy a purple. If I had a choice between a red and a purple tomato, I'm picking the red, you know. Purple, I don't know. I mean, purple looks good on squash, plums, but tomatoes, you know. What's that going to do to your spaghetti sauce, your lasagna, your pizza? Purple? I don't think so. Well, anyway, purple tomatoes, British scientists are, you know, bringing it into vogue, apparently, because they say that they think the purple tomato will help people avoid cancer. Yep, researchers in the UK, John Innes Center, that's where they're doing this research, they are boldly claiming, based on some flimsy evidence, that GM purple tomatoes have some kind of miracle, enzyme fruits, super fruit, if you will. They hope to begin human trials. They've tested it on mice. Apparently mice who had some of this GM purple extract tomato lived 40 days longer. So anyway, they're going to test it, get this, on heart patients in the UK. Okay. Let's see, moving along. Doctors turn cancer patients away, and people are blaming Obamacare. Patients and their doctors are kind of witnessing the rationing of care and costs. Are being controlled, especially in California. One cancer patient can't find an available doctor in their area, all because of the Obamacare, they're saying, Affordable Care Act. Under the Affordable Care Act, doctors may have no choice but to turn cancer patients away because the care is now being redistributed elsewhere under the government exchanges. So, cancer patients in California who have become covered under the state exchange have found out that they pretty much have a phantom network. We talked about that the other night. Many doctors in the patient's area can't accept their health care, or their health care isn't compatible with what the government's telling them they have to do. So anyway, it's all messed up. People are just finding out, you know, we got insurance and nowhere to use it. And last but not least in the Quack Report, here's an interesting thing come from the publication Wired. They say that in the future, it's going to be possible to have what they call cyborg plants, plants that will be able to inform you that they're thirsty, they need more plant food, or sunshine, or that they have parasites nibbling at their roots. So these are particularly organic electronic plants. I mean, I can't wrap my brain around this, you know, but That's what they're saying, and that they hope the plants will be able to also let you know how much air pollution they're breathing in. So Andrea Valetti, head of this Blue Sky Ridge group, is working very diligently in a lab in Italy. That's where they're at. Their project is called PLEASED, stands for Plants Employed as Sensing Devices. And they hope the project, which is in its early stages at this point, plants, they say, will be ideal sensors, even monitors, of the environment. Okay? So plants, pretty cheap, resilient, item to have, potentially can monitor different things simultaneously. I mean, can't they just leave nature alone? GM foods, chemtrails, purple tomatoes. Really? And now cyborg plants? Okay, I'm done. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. I don't know. It's just overwhelming, isn't it? Some of this stuff. Whew. All right, we're going to talk about risk management, okay? Because, a while back here on the show, we talked about the statistical risk to your health if you entered the hospital environment for treatment. You know, what's your risks when you go in there, risk of dying and so forth. Well, the Institute of Medicine published a report back in 1999 which estimated nearly 100,000 people die from hospital and physician errors every year. And they estimated that the death by medicine was the third leading cause of death in America. So apparently now the risk of dying while being treated at the hospital is so significant that in 2002, John James, PhD, he founded the Patient Safety America Advocacy Group. Now, statistically, Dr. James discovered there's about 210,000 hospital deaths every year, which are preventable. And due to inferior record keeping, the statistical numbers, according to him, is probably higher, somewhere around 400,000 deaths a year. So according, though, to Dr. Lucien Leap, he says the 1999 study is relatively outdated since, quote, medicine is more complex now, end of quote. Well, Dr. Leap, how many patients need to die due to negligence or budget cuts before the numbers matter enough to do something about it? That's my question. Well, let's look at this recent thing. Just happened this week. Recently, Norvant Health 4th Medical Center in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Guess what they did? Well, they supposedly accidentally exposed 18 patients to a rare degenerative and fatal neurological disease called Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD. So this disease is due to a rare protein which can survive on surfaces of surgical equipment after standard hospital sterilization. About 1% of the CJD cases are attributed to contaminated surgical equipment. Now, patients are especially at risk if they enter the hospital for the following procedures: transplants, human growth hormone treatments, and any surgery that involves the brain, the spinal cord, or eye tissue. So people can also acquire this disease if they eat contaminated beef, if they're exposed to contaminated blood or blood transfusions that are contaminated. So the unsuspected patients in the North Carolina hospital were exposed through improperly sterilized surgical equipment recently used on a patient that had the disease, which is known as a prion disease. So CJD has been linked to the prion disease. Now, apparently there are specific procedures to sterilize reusable equipment, especially when a disease is contagious and fatal like this. So CJD is often associated with mad cow disease, but in this case, it's a different strain. So there are only a small number of laboratories in the United States which can actually test you if you have CJD, and this disease affects about 300 Americans every year. Now, symptoms of CJD usually involve behavior abnormalities, dementia, and other rapid cognitive imbalances. And these symptoms can take years to materialize, you know, but once they do, death usually occurs within a year. So the last recorded case of a hospital surgical infection of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, or CJD, was in 1976. So the risk in this scenario may be low, but just one person that contracts the disease due to negligence is one too many. And according to the Department of Health and Human Services, the number of CJD cases has nearly doubled since 2008. Now, as some of you may know, Listerine was first developed as an operating room disinfectant that was used by Dr. Joseph Lister in the late 1800s. But as toxic as Listerine is, it's not strong enough to kill infectious prions causing neurological diseases. Let's see about this risk, because Johnson and Gibbs, they conducted the risk assessment of contracting CJD from a blood transfusion, and they said it's low, very low, and so therefore the blood isn't going to be tested for such prion disease. How do you feel about that? Indeed, cleaning up hospital surgical equipment to avoid the spread of this prion disease is a bioburden, apparently. Hospitals have strict guidelines from the CDC and the World Health Organization on the sterilization of equipment, which are broken down into three categories: critical, semi-critical, and non-critical. So obviously, the equipment used on a patient infected with a neurological prion disease, such as CJD, would be in the critical category. So all the equipment, such as your surgical instruments, your implants, your endoscopes, your respiratory therapy equipment, and any device that touches mucous membranes or broken skin has to be sterilized according to the, quote, critical guidelines. Non-critical items would be any objects such as walls, floors, blood pressure cuffs, and any furniture or instruments that were not in contact with infectious tissue. Now, as you can guess, prion sterilization methods are laboriously long and costly. So medicine admits that even with the strictest of sterilization methods using four chemicals, heat, and other methods, this may not be 100% effective to kill the pathogen. So the question is, are hospitals abandoning the critical level of sterilization due to excessive costs? Well, this is something the 18 surgery patients from Novant Health Fourth Medical Center in North Carolina should be asking. Now, it looks like the neurological time bomb that these 18 patients may be sitting on is due to negligence, cost-cutting efforts, or maybe both. So if we start to see this trend in hospitals across America in order to stay open, you know, cutting costs to stay open, well, this may be, you know, death by medicine may be the second leading cause of death. We're just up it a notch. What do you think? Now, I'm asking this because the infectious patients can acquire the infections patients can acquire while they're at the hospital, kind of staggering. You know, you're aware of some of them, viral, bacterial, and fungal pathogens, such as bloodstream infections. They're known as BSI. Or have about ventilator-associated pneumonia called VAP. Then there's the urinary tract infections, the staph infections, the antibiotic-resistant bacteria, as you know, of MRSA, and also surgical site infections known as SSI. So it's estimated that 10% of hospital patients in the United States will be infected with a hospital-acquired infection, which accounts for about 2 million infected patients. So the CDC states that one-third of these infections are preventable, and further estimates that hospital-acquired infections account for 20,000 to 99,000 deaths every year. So the cost associated with these hospital-acquired infections is between $4.5 to $11 billion. So the most common hospital-acquired infection in order of prevalence is urinary tracts by 36%, surgical site by 20%, and bloodstream and pneumonia are tied at 11%. So now, hey, get this. In Europe, these gram-negative infections account for like 25,000 deaths a year, lower than here in America. So the countries with the lowest incidence of hospital-acquired infections are Switzerland, Belgium, and Italy. Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. Well, the good news is that hospital admissions are declining, but the bad news is it's not because folks are healthier. Okay, the advisory board and Rutgers released some details on why hospital admissions have dropped, and the underlying factors are due to changes in insurance and government healthcare policies. So stock shares in hospitals and insurance companies have also dropped 2 to 3%. So I say, folks, you know, spare nothing, because staying out of the hospital is the goal, right? Yeah. Now, if you find yourself at the hospital, you'll want to vacate as soon as you can. Now, for hospital infections, you know what I like? I like to use garlic. It's a very broad-spectrum herb. I like to also use ginseng and echinacea root. And I'll tend to vary the herbs if there's pneumonia or sepsis or urinary tract infections. So you're going to find some very useful herb kits, organ cleanses, and immune-boosting formulas at Apothecary Herbs, and they're made with certified organic herbs, tilth standards, cold-pressed, naturally aged products, best you can get, all with organic alcohol as well. So in the event your local hospital closes, hey, you'll have some emergency backup tools. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call and order your herb kits today, or get a free product catalog by calling 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., dial 704-885-0277, 704-885-0277, or you can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Do-it-yourselfers, that's where you want to go. Now, don't forget, we're in February, big month for colds and flu, and right now you'll save 20% on the 2- and 4-ounce size formulas, the herbal immune-boosting formulas, at the Apothecary Herbs website, thepowerherbs.com. So just click on under the cold and flu tab if you want to check that out. Or you can go to the immune boosting section and see what's there. So you got your choices there, of course. And if you haven't signed up for the newsletters, there's a couple of newsletters that go out each week. You'll also get discount coupons to use on your herbal products in there. So the American Survival is a newsletter with several people writing articles for, including Dr. Carly and myself and Melanie Cedarstrom at Discount Gold and Silver and Al Adass. And Ty Bollinger at Cancer Truth Chronicles. So you got some people writing, and that goes out on Tuesday. So you can sign up, and these are free newsletters. So you can sign up and get free information, empowering information, and you can save some money on your herbal products as well. And or if you want just the health items, if you just want the health articles that that are in the Health Quest newsletter, you can just sign up for that one. That goes out on Friday, and that's free. And so you can check that out. And so if you are looking for a substitute for your Dynavite product, Power Greens for Pets is available on the PowerHerbs.com website. So if you're looking for a comparable product that's all organic, doesn't have any sugars or grains or gluten issues, then you'll want to check out the Power Greens product. You'll see the comparison of the Dynavite and the Power Greens product side by side. You'll save money, and it's a better product. So check that out as soon as you can at thepowerherbs.com, or simply call Apothecary Herbs and ask for some more information on that product at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Hey, I had mentioned the other day that I was going to do a little segment before we get to our echinacea root on the Valentine Heart Grand, because we've got Valentine's Day coming up this weekend. I know you got special things to do. So in honor of Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about a little bit of heart health right now. We got about 7.5 million people with myocardial infarction, which means that 1 in 36 people have a heart disease in America. And every year, 1.25 million have heart attacks, and 3,000 people die from a heart attack every day. So I would say with heart disease, the undertaker pretty busy, 460,000 heart deaths every year. And the standard prescribed drugs like your beta blockers, your diuretics, your ACE inhibitors, your calcium channel blockers, I'll get it out, nitrates, antiplatelets, you name it, really aren't doing anything to strengthen the cardiovascular system. It's just treating the disease with chemicals, making the system weaker, but it doesn't do anything to cure the patient. Patients want cures. I think they're figuring this out. So if you got more than 2 million Americans suffering from abnormal heartbeats known as arrhythmias, which can occur in a healthy heart but not be noticeable, but if you leave it unchecked, it can damage the heart, causing a stroke or sudden cardiac death. So you want to be careful there. Serious arrhythmia can produce lightheadedness, fatigue, loss of consciousness, chest pain, shortness of breath, heart attack, and death. So there are two basic kinds of arrhythmia: bradycardia, the heart's beating less than 60 beats a minute, and tachycardia, beating more than 100 times per minute. So, you know, if I was going to put out a personal ad in the newspaper, let's say you're going to put out a personal ad in the newspaper for cardiologists, to come treat you. Or better yet, you figure out how to reverse your heart disease and you put your cardiologist on the unemployment line. How about that? Right? Can you just see? If that happened, your cardiologist would have a classified personal ad maybe. It may read something like this: job wanted, out of work, cardiologist seeks position as plumber, good with clogs, pipe buildup, reestablish flow, good with snakes, call 555-STAT. What do you think? Worked for me. Yeah? So, let's talk about some of the herbs that are great. The heart just loves garlic, natural blood thinner, and a clotting agent. But you're going to have to use quite a bit of garlic each day, probably 4 to 6 cloves. So it's best to use it in a cold-pressed liquid. That way you can, like, put it in your vegetable juice, and that way you don't even know it's there. Hawthorn berries also help protect your heart muscle from damage should blood flow and oxygen be temporarily blocked. It's high in magnesium and potassium and selenium, which the heart just loves, helps reduce stress on the cardiovascular system, and also helps with the electrical impulses in the heart muscle to regulate heartbeat. It also reduces water retention and blood pressure and allows more oxygen to the heart muscle to protect it. So if there's a loss of circulation, that heart muscle is going to last longer without damage if you've been using some hawthorn berries. Red clover is also excellent to help detox the system, the blood, and reduce blood fats and cholesterol. Ginger root and habanero cayenne work as a powerful balancer of blood pressure from head to foot. Motherwort herb is excellent for getting rid of the arrhythmia, steadying out that heartbeat. And you can use these herbs all together. And guess what? It's handy in one formula, the heart formula. And the folks at Apothecary Herbs have it. And they can get it right to you. Just give them a call at 866-229-3663 or visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. We're going to take a break, but more empowering news on the other side.
Thank you. stepping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll-free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll-free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Hey, Rebecca. here at Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're talking about heart here. We're going to wrap this up. You know, the folks at Apothecary Herbs are also going to help you out if you're a smoker and you want to quit smoking because, you know, smokers tend to have a higher risk of heart disease. So you can check out their Smoker's Helper on the PowerHerbs.com website. All natural. Kind of get rid of those smoking cravings. Also, they have, as an emergency, you know, because, you know, seconds can count when you have heart issues, right? They do have a heart attack pack, 1 pound, very portable. Take it with you. So they got some tools there for you. And I suggest you get familiar with that, you know, because you never know when an emergency room won't be within your reach, right? ThePowerHerbs.com. Check it out. All right. We're going to talk about echinacea. I love echinacea, especially, you know, for immune-boosting purposes. And now we're in February, and a lot of people think, you know, flu season's over. No, it's not. This is the big month for flu because so many people have now been – the saturation point for flu vaccines have kind of rolled out, so now people are getting sick with rhinoviruses and things. So this is the big month. It tends to taper off after March. So March, it starts to, you know, dwindle, but – February is usually the problem month, so don't relax just yet. You want to keep boosting your immune system. So we're going to talk about echinacea. And, you know, during the turn of the century, echinacea was utilized with a great panache, you know, powerful, powerful herb in the 19th century. Even medieval physicians and herbalists alike, you know, tend to use it, and they used it for a lot of things other than immune boosting. They used it for things like cancer, and they used it for acne. So let's talk about this powerful echinacea, because I think our Creator God thinks an awful lot of echinacea, because He's provided us with 9 different species of this plant. Amazingly, all 9 varieties of echinacea are indigenous to the United States. But after being discovered in the United States, echinacea has kind of been over-cultivated. And the 9 species of echinacea have been found to have medicinal properties. And the most popular of the species is Echinacea angustifolia and Echinacea purpurea. So herbalists refer to these varieties most of the time. Angustifolia is a bit stronger, and it's been actually the favorite echinacea among the Plains Indians. And today, echinacea in the echinacea family, it's one of the most widely tested and used echinacea plants for medicinal purposes, medicinal trials, and scientific tests. And most of the studies that were conducted verified echinacea's ability to enhance animal and even human functions. So German physicians will use echinacea intravenously for immune system aids and digestive aids. So interesting stuff. Well, let's look at our ancestors for just a minute, because sometimes, you know, our ancestors knew a little bit more than we did. Some of the old American Indians operated herbal dispensaries. And they had them around for a time before the Civil War. Now, one particular dispensary was operated by Nathan Pothurst, who in 1980, he still owned the last existing botanical pharmacy on Ellis Street in San Francisco. So this place was, you know, what an herbal pharmacy would have looked like about 100 years ago. Very cool. Now, in 1980, Pothurst, well, he was in his late 90s, and he had quite a few dusty-covered bottles in his herb shop there, and he had actually 100-year-old herb tinctures in there. And so the longer an herbal tincture tends to age, the stronger it gets. So if you tasted something like that, probably would curl your toes. So Pothurst knew many white physicians in his day, and he spoke of one who in particular got an eye-opening lesson with regard to echinacea, the famous Professor King. You may have heard the story. Well, here is the story. Professor King's herbal education began in the late 1800s when a peddler by the name of Joseph Mayer from Pawnee City, Nebraska, wanted to know why his snake root tonic, which had echinacea in it, helped protect people from rattlesnake bites. So Mayer traveled from town to town with his wagon loaded with various trinkets for sale, and he made friends with the Plains Indians. They taught him the virtues of echinacea root, or as the American Indians called it, snake root. So he made it into a tonic, and then he sold this remedy for snake bites. So Mayer was quite the showman, and he was often known as the snake oil salesman. He got that reputation. And he would let a rattlesnake bite him, and then he would drink the tonic to prove the effectiveness of the product. So Mayer also learned that echinacea cured the plague and cancer, but he wanted to know more about the herb itself, so he sent off a bottle of his snake oil tonic to Professor King for analysis. So why did Mayer single out Professor King? Well, he was the nation's leading physician at the turn of the century and the author of the famous King's American Dispensatory. So here is where this Western peddler shipping off his snake oil remedy to a celebrity of the 1800s gets interesting, okay? So he wanted to know what made echinacea root tick. So he's asking the professor, so what do you suppose happened? Well, Professor King allowed his prejudice to cloud his decision. He laughed, he scoffed at the very idea of testing this snake oil stuff, you know, because Mayer sent him a whole case to test, whole case of this stuff, right? So, you know, he just shoved the whole case of the echinacea root snake oil under his workbench. And King wrote Mayer back calling him an idiot, saying no scientific studies could be done on a tonic and to send the plant for study instead. Mayer obliged. Yes, he did. He obliged the famous doctor. So he sent Dr. King a whole echinacea angustifolia plant. He sent it off to King's lab, see. So here's where the story really gets interesting. King's wife was dying of cancer under the care of their colleagues, King's colleagues, you know, the other physicians in the community. So she one day in his workshop discovered this case of echinacea, supposedly snake oil tonic. And she decided, you know, that since the other prescriptions that she had been taking for months were not helping her feel better, she decided to drink some. So within 2 months, Mrs. King had almost a full recovery from her cancer. And King was elated at her recovery until his wife told him that she had stopped taking the conventional medicine the doctors had prescribed for her treatment. And instead, she was drinking Mayer's echinacea snake oil tonic. She drank all of it, the whole case. All right. So it was one of those, you know, defining moments where God uses the simple and the base things to confound the mighty, right? So Professor King, kind of astonished, because at the time there were no echinacea preparations sold or even discussed in medicine. However, within 2 years, echinacea became the most popular herb tonic used by American physicians. So King may have been uninformed and biased, but he was no idiot. Unfortunately, a short time after the AMA set out to destroy herbal medicine in the United States, also destroyed the practices of over 20,000 herbal doctors as well. So why is there the disparity regarding echinacea? With all the scientific testing, how come this herb, you know, that cures cancer over 100 years ago, but isn't being utilized? Well, you got to remember Pothurst and his old tinctures. They were pretty potent, right? So what you have on the market today is kind of weak, distilled versions of the herb. People aren't making them like they used to be made 100 years ago. One of my herb professors said once that the echinacea extract in stores is so standardized, you know, it's you know, you see the products. They have these products that says super potency, chelated, gold label, whole plant, quick active, you know, hypo processed. It's garbage. you know, because they're not taking the time to make it. They're just trying to get a product to market quickly. So if you look at some of the old dried out echinacea roots, and, you know, if you just had some old dried echinacea roots, okay, let's say you had some, you forgot about them, and you wonder if they're even any good anymore. Well, if you took those roots and you put them in 80 proof vodka, okay, and let it age a month, and then cold press it, it would be 100 times better than what you have in the stores today. Really. Because a lot of these companies are using a forced extraction method. They're not using enough of the root to make a potent formula. They're kind of cheating. They're using substandard herbs. So what you're getting is, or a lot of times people think, oh, wow, that was strong. That was powerful. But, you know, the company was using, you know, 100 proof something, and all your mouth is exploding because of the alcohol, not so much the herb. So what Mayer made and what he peddled in on his wooden cart was much, much stronger and more effective than what you can buy in stores today. So the doses were also more aggressive as well back then. If you were seriously ill, you know, they would give you about a teaspoon of a real potent tincture several times a day. You know, like every 2 or 3 hours. So it doesn't surprise me that Dr. King's wife, you know, chucked back the whole case and got better. So if you're interested in finding certified organic herbs that are naturally aged, cold pressed, and the formulas are proper, in other words, you got almost all herb and very little catalyst as far as ratio count, you know, or equal parts of there, then you're going to have a pretty decent formula when you're done. So check out the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have some of the best echinacea. Hey, and by the way, if you ever have echinacea, it should numb your tongue for a few moments. That's the signature taste of the root. So if you have an echinacea product that's not doing that, it's just not doing much of anything. You got to have that signature taste. And by golly, by the time I'm done with my herbal career, I'm going to make aficionados out of all of you, herbal connoisseurs, if you will. And you're going to know that certain herbs have a signature taste. For instance, lobelia, which is excellent herb, excellent for many things, including asthma, bronchitis, fluid retention, muscle spasms. That herb should kind of have a prickly sensation in your mouth for a few moments. Goes away, but it kind of has that, you know, astringent feeling in your mouth. So if you're not having these experiences when you taste your herbs, which, you know, are bitter and hot, strong, so they should be strong, then what you're buying is, you know, pretty much, you know, just colored water, I think. You're not getting enough of it. So check out the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They make very powerful, potent formulas that Pothurst would probably give a thumbs up to. And you can check it out at thepowerherbs.com. I want to continue with my echinacea topic now because there's a bunch of stuff I want to cover here. Lots of articles have been written on the effectiveness of herbs, and back in August of 1998, the USA Today reported some 60 million Americans were using herbal remedies. Okay, that was a while back. So why were so many people back then starting to get, you know, cued into herbs? Well, herbs are getting a lot of attention lately. Mark Blumenthal, he's the founder of the American Botanical Council, he says that herbs have a solid science behind them. And others agree, such as, you know, naturopath Donald Brown of Seattle. He is recognized as a top herbal expert who explains that herbal remedies have the best scientific evidence behind them and the clearest definition of their uses, which will be the ones that, you know, become the most popular out there in the marketplace. So and he wrote an article, and he was talking about some of the most popular herbs. The U.S. medicinal profession has also introduced echinacea. It was introduced officially in 1887. It was introduced in Europe in 1895. So this purple cone flower has become pretty popular in the 20th century, and it is basically the top-selling herb in America. Echinacea. So let's talk about some of the history behind it. When penicillin and other wonder drugs were created, the echinacea, people just got, pushed it aside. The demand for it waned. By the 1930s, echinacea fell from use after, the AMA started promoting it as a worthless plant, and anyone who defended it was a quack. Okay, before it was fine. Everybody kind of flocked to it because that's what they had, but now the wonder drugs are here. But look what the wonder drugs have done. They've given you, drug-resistant diseases. Just stuck with the echinacea is what I say. Okay, now Europe, echinacea was growing in popularity, Germany especially. And Dr. Gerhard Madus, after securing some echinacea potpourri seeds from America, he began growing and researching the benefits of the echinacea. And much of the German research that has been done included echinacea angustifolia. And then Dr. Medeas did, he got those seeds and angustifolia potpourri, and he was testing both. And he published some of the most comprehensive studies on the echinacea plants. And he became one of the leading herbal medicine manufacturers in Germany. Today, his studies are still being used for the best scientific studies to date. Now, the research that was done on echinacea was by a lot of medical researchers and doctors and even some herbalists. The German physicians established the echinacea had a primary action. What it does is increases the number of white blood cells, also known as macrophages. This is part of your immune system defense, and so this is where it's got a reputation as being an immune booster. So this enhances the immune system, and it really helps the body to fight off infections quickly. So since the 1930s, over 400 journal articles have been published on this worthless plant, and more studies have been written on the chemistry, the pharmacology, and the clinical uses of echinacea than any other herb. So if it was so worthless, they wouldn't be wasting their time with it, see? So what do all these studies conclude? Well, a majority of them say echinacea is effective in treating viral and bacterial infections, fungus infections, helps to heal wounds faster, and reduces inflammation. Now, there is some ancient research that is worth mentioning. The Plains Indians would use echinacea as an antiseptic and as an analgesic, and as a poisonous antidote, as you know, for insect and snake bites. They also used it for toothaches, wounds, sore throats, childhood diseases like mumps, chickenpox, smallpox, and measles. Other Indian tribes known as the would use echinacea were the Cheyenne Indians, the Choctaw, the Comanche, the Dakotas, the Pawnee, the Sioux, and the Omaha. So there are lots of Indian communities would tap into this echinacea. So very common in North Carolina, you can find it, or North America, you can find it just about everywhere. Native American Indian made it one of their favorite herbs, echinacea. So the part of the echinacea plant that is mostly used is the root and the stalk area. The early settlers learned about echinacea as therapeutic uses. They learned some from the Indians. History teaches us that in 1762, the settlers and the Dakota Indians used echinacea to treat saddle sores on their horses. So they used it on their animals as well. So soon, echinacea root became actually the secret ingredient in a lot of tonics and a lot of blood purifiers. And during 1916 to 1950, echinacea was listed in the U.S. National Formulary, and it was published by the Journal of the American Medical Association. And it was there. It was what doctors were using. So from the plains of North America to the halls of science in Germany, what we have learned about echinacea is it's an immune system enhancer. And what does that really mean? Well, it is not an herb of choice to use as a prevention all the time. You want to use it just when you need it to strengthen your immune system to shorten your duration of illness. So you only want to use it when you're feeling under the weather. There are other herbs that you can use instead as a prevention if you want to, you know, keep from getting sick, like astragalus root, for instance. So the studies to date on your echinacea root is that the herb is also helpful in treating colds and flu, coughs, upper respiratory infections, sore throats, swollen glands, urinary tract infections, herpes, candida, wounds, skin infections, any kind of topical use, psoriasis, eczema, inflammation, and other minor infections. So how does science explain all this? How does this herb work to do that? Well, according to science, echinacea stimulates your immune system to make what they call killer T cells, which kill viruses and bacteria and fungus and helps your white blood cells attack those germs. So it also recommends that anyone with an autoimmune disease like lupus, HIV, TB, or MS should probably not use echinacea. Apparently it works against you, especially if you're taking a bunch of prescription meds. So researchers believe that echinacea can actually worsen that condition, and others feel that although there are a few restrictions in using this plant, the benefits would outweigh any risks. So, and by the way, if you want to grow your own, please do echinacea angustifolia. That has long, thin petals, grows to less than 12 inches high, has this rosy purple pale color to its leaves. It does well in zones 4 through 9, and it particularly likes higher elevations where the winters are colder. Echinacea purpurea is the choice of residential gardeners across America, and has this long, stiff stems, purple flower. It grows to 3 feet high and is native to Virginia, Georgia, and Louisiana. And it's easy to cut and dry and to harvest in late fall. Unlike angustifolia, it tends to prefer the lower elevations with milder winters. So if you plant your echinacea, it'll come back in the spring, you know, after the leaves and everything die off. You want to also trim the cone after it turns dark and save the seeds inside, and then you can plant some more later. So you can put those in storage and have them for the next couple of years and plant some more echinacea. So echinacea is one of your self-care herbs, do-it-yourselfers, definitely in part of any natural medicine cabinet, I would say. So check it out. Several formulas available at thepowerherbs.com, or give Apothecary Herbs a call at 866-229-3663. We gotta go, but the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.